Hey! Hey, good morning. I'm a little late today, and the whole world is fuzzed, and the president lies a lot, and I don't know what to say about any of it, except we in trouble, country. We in real trouble. I've been looking around. I see the Antifa people in their black bloc outfits wanting to fight the right-wing crazy men of the same age and same stupidity level, I think. I'm sorry. I think that. Nobody is really ready. Well, that's not fair. There's a lot of good struggle going on in the environmental movement, a lot of serious examination of our politics at the intellectual level, and, hey, the failing New York Times keeps telling the news. I do think, that it's very hard for a nation like ours to understand that for years and many administrations, we've had mostly distortions and lies, and now, at long last, we have the ultimate fulfillment of that in this creature with the weird hair and the strange attitudes and a total lack of honesty in any context. Here's the president of the United States. I mean, that's just amazing to me, who tells one lie after another. And I honestly believe, like many sociopaths, he totally believes it when he tells it. And afterward, he'll, defend it. And meanwhile, the government of the United States is being filled, and this is what's really important in a greater sense, with right-wing idiots. Now, I want to be clear about this. There is right-wing intelligentsia. There are people who are bright. There are people who are clever, who I may and you may and environmentally may be really dangerous. But that's not who's there. Who's there are sycophants and liars, and the ultimately lowest ambitious people of all. And it's out of control, and the media is not really up for it, even though they try to tell some of it some of the time. But it's so all-encompassing. And we say, oh, well, Trump, you know, Trump will get caught up with the Russian thing, and he'll go down. Well, maybe that gives us Pence, and then maybe Pence will go down, and that'll give us Ryan. And then, meanwhile, the Republicans have captured Congress, virtually both houses, but in reality, absolutely the House of Representatives. And these people, a lot of them believe in in a magic spirit in the sky that'll cure all their problems and other absurd things. As we now know that the environment is around us changing. One half of a degree has altered the environment so much. And what's really disturbing to me is while the media sort of covers Trump and it sort of covers the environment and it sort of covers this and that, in actuality, I do not see regularly on local and national news programming on the television or on the internet or in the newspapers, I do not see the obvious plain truth that the environmental degradation that was predicted is now already happening. The Arctic ice is melting. The Antarctic ice is melting. There's these incredible storms. It's like, well, gee, we didn't used to have this many hurricanes, or gee, we didn't used to have this many tornadoes, or gee, these weird fires. And well, folks, the disasters are upon us, and it will take a huge amount of rectification, if indeed it can be done, to make things better. Meanwhile, we have an absolute high-class, schizophrenic, crazy, paranoid, weird man as president of the United States leading a party that would rather have power than help the United States. Okay, so that's... Yeah, no, I'm going to forget about that. It's all right. There's no reason to worry. It's okay. But here also is what's happening. The Trump administration is working to dismantle the Environmental Protection Agency and many other agencies. It wants to slash budgets of the EPA by 31%. It wants to destroy the environmental movement. It wants to destroy climate research. It wants to stop air quality programs. It wants to end the criminal and civil enforcement areas of EPA. It wants the Superfund cleanups to end. It wants regional water quality to be just not paid attention to. It wants to never protect tributaries and wetlands. It wants, in short, to destroy the healthy, what's left of, the healthy environment, so that a few millionaires and billionaires can make even more money, which they don't really need, which they do not really need, and have power which they should not have. This is what's happening. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, this is my rant. My name is Joe Uris. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's 90.7 FM in Portland here. The number to call is 231-8187. And here's what I would love. I would love to have some people call me up and say, oh, it's not that bad, or, oh, we can do something about it, or the struggle has just begun, or whatever. But I was watching the regular TV, you know, like the local TV, which is no longer local, by the way, owned by others. And I saw weird demonstrations where the anti-fascist Antifa, whatever the heck they're called, Black Bloc or whatever they are, fighting with the Christian fundamentalist muscle boys. I didn't see any right-wing muscle girls. Maybe there were some. Anyway, fighting each other in at the waterfront, and ordinary people trying to do their ordinary pleasures being disrupted. I also saw a very rational group of left-wingers meeting and talking about things, but all of it is so inadequate to the situation we are in. People seem unable to grasp the enormity of the horror that is unfolding. And I get, you know, I'm kind of older and so on, but I get really, really, really depressed when I think about what's really going on. You know, I have children, my children have children, and so on. And this is not about politics as usual. This is not about Clinton and the cum-stained dress. This is not about the lying Nixon. This is not about any of that. All of that is nothing compared to this. We have a president of the United States who apparently does not know the truth from falsehood, will lie about, he lies about Madonna hitting on him. He lies about, you name the thing, he will lie about it. And here's the really creepy part. I honestly believe as he lies, he believes it. He actually believes that he had a positive exchange with the head of the Boy Scouts. He actually believes that the crowd at his inauguration was bigger than any inaugural crowd at all. And you say, well, it doesn't matter. Those are unimportant things. They are indicative of what a creepy, bad, ugly situation we're in. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, a psychotic leader is building nuclear weapons and missiles to attack the United States for real. We don't know that he'll actually do that, but that's his talk. Meanwhile, Russia wants to get back to the place the Soviet Union once was in before it totally collapsed, with a leader who is probably the richest man in the world and totally corrupt, this Putin fella. All of this is really happening in the real world. The environment is becoming degraded. The Russians are ambitious and have snuck into our system. The North Koreans are crazy and want to get us. And because we have such brilliant leadership, all of that is even more scary. So here's what I want. Here's what I'm begging for. Call me up here at KBOO. 231-8187, and say to me, oh, Joe, calm down. It's not so bad. Look at all the good things that are happening. So there's a lot of you out there who are involved in wonderful struggles. This is your chance to remind me, remind our audience, more importantly our audience, of the good things that are happening, of the opportunities that are out there. This is the opportunity to prove me, not prove me, just show me how I'm just being too old and grumpy, and it's not that bad, and really relax. So 231-8187, let's hear the positive news flowing from you, the audience at KBOO. John, you're on the phone.
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Sorry, I'm not going to be positive.
Oh, no. Okay, go ahead.
There is that.
Yeah.
Regarding, have you heard of the Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity?
Say it again?
Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity.
I've heard of a lot of such organizations. I don't know that I know specifically that one. Why don't you tell me about it?
Okay, before the Iraq War, There are people like Bill Binney who created the Cygnet program that would collect intelligence for the NSA without collecting personal data. It's also Ray McGovern who used to give George Bush the senior his daily security briefing, as well as dozens of others. They came out in 2003 before the Iraq War, against the Iraq War, stating that the intelligence was faulty.
Which was true. I mean, they were right.
Yes. They've just come out with a report regarding the Russian collusion, and they've used the forensic information, the physical data that indicates that it could not have been downloaded over the Internet. Hence their logical conclusion, which is that it was an inside job, that was it wasn't a hack, it was a leak. I recommend, I mean, if we're going to be rational about things, I suggest that we use people who've been honest in difficult times before to inspect that. No doubt Putin is, you know, a dictator and all that kind of thing, but one of the things you do a lot is you complain about religion and the guy in the sky. And you also simultaneously will mention the Catholic worker movement with which I'm acquainted. My mother actually converted to Catholicism because she was acquainted with Dorothy Day when she lived in New York City in the 1940s. You consistently present an inherent contradiction because you criticize religious people, which I understand when people are entirely dogmatic, but you always make like a blanket statement and you occasionally have a caveat in which you've got an implicit contradiction going on between endorsing the Catholic worker movement and Dorothy Day and her admonition that the greatest sin is despair.
Right.
Do you think that she would have not, that do you not believe that her belief in the divine was not a part of her refusal to give in to despair?
You know, that's you're asking both a significantly philosophical question, which I'm hardly in shape to do today, but also
let me finish.
Sure. I'll be real quick. Yeah. But you're right. Also raising a fundamental contradiction in my thinking, which is very valid, and I appreciate it. I just want to acknowledge that. Let me try to parse this just really quickly.
Sure.
It is not that I believe because they're Catholics that they are good or that Catholicism is a per se good or bad religion.
No. You were talking about the social mission of the Catholic worker movement, which I understand, which is actually, you know, adheres to what I guess you would say St. Francis of Assisi with, you know, be poor and serve humanity.
Right.
Which is, in my opinion, as well as yours apparently, a noble thing to do, and it actually... You know, I totally understand your position. Like, if you're dealing with somebody who has a simplistic, fundamentalist, dogmatic point of view, recently I got ambushed in the last couple of years by three people doing that who wanted to tell me that homosexuality was, you know, definitively a sin rather than listen to me talk about, share my personal experience of when the first time that I had an open conversation with an openly gay person when I was a teenager. They just like ambushed me and jumped up and down on my head. And when I thought about you, I thought about this is why Joe goes, God, those people who think about, you know, the guy up in the sky. And for these Christians who were going, you know, homosexuality is wrong, I wanted to say, do you eat pork? Because you're getting this from Leviticus.
Right.
And there's the rules for life in Leviticus. And I will bet you, I will give you a 90% of my estimation is, yeah, they eat pork. What they do is they selectively use morality in which to pummel other people rather than to use morality in order to inspect their own behavior and adjust themselves accordingly. So,
I agree with you. And I think the points you're making are important. But I think overall... The reason why I cite Dorothy Day, well, there's two reasons. First of all, she influenced me directly, interpersonally. Mm-hmm. That's number one.
So for integrity, right?
Yeah. Number two, I really still believe that the only way to shape social change in the United States is to do it through nonviolence. And this is a very important part of my personal beliefs. And I also think it's warranted because I see the work of Dr. King and others. Yeah. And realize that had they tried to use other methods, we would have had another bloody civil war. Now, they did not solve the problems. They improved the situation. And I understand that. And I'm not sure, because I also have a very strong Marxist background, I'm not sure that there is much to do. without changing the class structure. And that worries me because I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. Yeah, I totally understand your concern there. I think part of the thing that I feel, I feel like you're trying to channel a little bit of George Carlin when George Carlin does his bit about the guy in the sky, and he's going to send you to a place of torment and horror where you'll suffer eternally.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm also influenced by Carlin.
This is a gentle criticism. He just does that so much better, just kind of point people in his direction, because that's a great bit.
It is a great bit.
And for me personally, the other one that comes for me, despite my insistence that as human beings, we are fundamentally required to in some way conceive of and then relate to the divine.
Uh-huh.
And I understand how problematic that is, because people will turn that into what I just described, right, fundamentalist Christians with a simplistic view telling me that homosexuality was flat out wrong and there was no discussion and they couldn't hear anybody's personal experience,
right?
Because they dogmatically knew the world, and I think that people who people who tend to go towards atheism tend to just push everybody into that basket of the irrational cannot be talked to, and you brought up Martin Luther King Jr., right?
Right.
He was a total believer.
Oh, I understand that. Listen, this is a neat conversation, but I got to give other people an opportunity.
Absolutely.
And I do appreciate your call, and I think your criticisms, aside from being valid, are pretty interesting.
Well, I would actually love to, even like outside of your show, just like sit down and if you would be open to it thrash through things, because I feel your idealism and I also feel your despair and your want to make positive change. But there's it's like the collective intelligence. We're smarter as a group than we are as individuals.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, the process that you and I are doing, and I'll shut up and let you go in just a second, is we're honing each other, kind of like in the dead white man thing, I guess you could call it like the Socratic dialogue, via which information and thought back and forth between us, we're shaping each other as we speak and improving each other's insights, beliefs, and understanding.
I can't argue with that. I do need to let you go. I would suggest that you, either if my producer is still around or somebody, if you give me a phone number, I'll call you.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Okay, 231-8187, a caring voice, that's nice. I'm in a fit of despair because I just finished reading the New York Times, and I just read a piece about Trump lying and lying and lying, and I just realized the media is not up for it, and I just realized that 30 to 40% of the people who supported him still support him because they can't believe or won't believe that everything he says is total bullpucky, and I love to hear that I'm wrong. 231-8187. George, you're on the air.
Hey, I want to thank you, Joe and Abe, for saying let's have no violence. I heartily agree. But we've got to face the issue that I mentioned a week ago on this show. We've got to be there for the economy as well as other things. But I just have a brief reply. You said that Putin is totally corrupt and so on, and a dictator. Have you read the Stone-Putin discourses?
No, I have not.
Well, I was going to suggest this. Anyone who listened to what you said and says, oh, I think Joe's right, I would say read those and let's have a discussion afterward on your show, because they suggest that Putin is very, very concerned about leaving America and other countries to make their own decisions about whatever they want to do. He says, I'm about Russia and doing what I can, and I'll negotiate with people. So I'll just get off. I want to listen
okay,
to
that's interesting.
Fantastic show.
Okay, thanks very much for
hey,
the call.
Thank you.
All right. I got to tell people, in case they don't know, Abe isn't here today, and I just finished reading all these bad stories in the paper, and I really, really feel like, and this is something that needs to be thought about on a larger scale and perhaps thought about on this station. We do a lot of programming of various sorts. It may be more important at this time in history to devote almost all of our programming, except a little bit of inspirational music and inspirational thought and concern for minority representation and so on. But it may be necessary for there to be a steady, constant voice of reason and analysis now, right now, for the next foreseeable few years even. This is a very great crisis. It is not ordinary stuff. It is not the stuff of Ronald Reagan, who changed things badly. It is not the stuff, you know, of the Bushes, who got us into the incredible tragedies that are going on in the Middle East, serious as they are. This is beyond that. This is, we actually have a psychotic leader who is not really leading, but being the head of a absolutely opportunistic and totally unrealistic and disengaged right-wing, what used to be called the Republican Party, which isn't really the Republicans of the past. And in that process, the damage that is being done and will be done, even if he goes away, even if Trump, the vice president goes away, even if Ryan goes away, the damage that will be done and has been done and will be continued to be done is enormous. Environmentally, the environment don't lie. And things are really scary just in that world, never mind the horrible conditions of so many people in the world and the fact the U.S. is eager to take away civil liberties and civil rights from everybody everywhere under this government. Let's hear from you. Cheer me up, 231-8187. Dougie.
Hey.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hey, you did an amazing intro. That was a great intro for the show.
Thank you, I guess.
Have you seen this guy? His name is Hambone Littletail. If you go to on YouTube and type in Humpty Dumpty Tribe,
okay,
Humpty Dumpty Tribe, he gives a report just about every day on our dire predicament with the environment and how basically. Just talks about the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, Donald Trump, Rex Tillerson, Scott Pruitt, the Zinke guy at the Interior Department, mm-hmm. and how they've sabotaged the whole EPA. They've been silencing scientists. There's a report that just got released today from about 13 or 14 different agencies that it got leaked to the New York Times, and they leaked it because they knew that if the Trump administration got a hold of it, they would, you know, change the data or just throw it in the trash. But this guy that I was telling you about, Hambone Littletail on the Humpty Dumpty Tribe, he has a sign, and he has this little dog that's with him called Sancho Panza, and the sign says, "We are so effed."
Yeah.
And I hate to give up. We can't give up.
No, no, you can't give up. Let me. I want to use that to riff for just a moment. You cannot give up. You cannot know what will be the tipping point toward a better world. And struggle, constant struggle from various points of view, from various people in various ways, is the absolutely necessary element toward that. The reason why I'm doing this show, why I do this show on a regular basis, God knows I ain't getting paid for it. The reason why I do this is because I can't give up. And I think none of us can give up. And I think it's very, very, very important to struggle using our brain, you know, using our intelligence. And I believe, and this is my existential position, I believe that the struggle itself may be the tipping point, and we don't even know it. And right now, it looks bad. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, well, maybe this situation was needed to wake people up in a way, though, because, I mean, it is, we've been asleep at the wheel here with climate change, and now we're on the verge of reaching points that may be points of no return. And our kids and our kids' kids are going to be living in a world that is full of drought and famine and more outrageous wars, half of the world's cities around the world underwater. That there's a great YouTube channel you should also check out called Climate and Extreme Weather News. Climate and Extreme Weather News.
Mm-hmm.
And if America, you know, is dealing with the heat waves and the wildfires right now, but if you go there, the most recent one was number 50, Climate and Extreme Weather News number 50, and you'll see the deluges of rain that are going on in China, in India, in Bangladesh,
mm-hmm.
The heat waves in Korea. I mean, there is the level of the devastation is so I had never seen nothing like it before, and this is being kept from the American people. You know, if people only knew just how bad things really have become with climate change and how many people's lives are being affected, millions of people displaced for their homes, billions of dollars damaged from infrastructure. It's just unbelievable, and it's only going to get worse if we don't wake up. And,
okay, I have to interrupt you because you're not helping me, but I appreciate your call. Thanks. I'm going to take a bathroom break. Hang on. We're going to have a little music. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Sorry. Dump that music. I apologize, but, you know, I was rushing to get here, and, well, you know, I didn't take care of business before I needed to take care of business. What can I say? All right. Now I'm taking a deep breath. Now I'm thinking a little bit about how to proceed without becoming too dire, too dark, too despairing. Let's just understand that there is never an end to what can be done till there's really an end to what can be done. And I'm hoping that a lot of you, I know a lot of you are activists, I know a lot of you are aware of issues, and you're very engaged, have ideas and so on. I'm hoping, and this is kind of a personal fantasy, you don't have to fulfill it, you can talk more about awful stuff, but I need a counter to my sense that things are really, really seriously screwed up, and we really, really, well, you're not going to be able to counter this one, have a psychotic leader, and we have an opportunistic and nearly psychotic Congress. And I just need personally, this is very selfish, I know, but I just need personally some affirmation of the possibility of improvement and social change. And I know there are many historical events that bear that out. We know that while the situation of African Americans has not been rectified since their enslavement here, we know that the situation and treatment of persons of color generally is awful. Women generally is awful. We know all these, but we do know there have been struggles that have made things better or at least closer to justice. And we do know that things often are possibly improvable. knowing that and being aware that we can never, and here's another contradiction, we can never exactly know, and I said this earlier, but it's really important, what the tipping point is. When ordinary people, like you and me, suddenly decide to make a change for the better in society as well as in ourselves, that wondrous things can take place. And I also know that KBOO speaks to a relatively small audience of relatively aware people, very aware people. And I also know that most people are trying to entertain themselves to death rather than to be engaged because things are scary. And that makes it even more likely. On the other hand, there was a period of time during the Great Depression and post-depression, during the years of struggle during World War II, when there was a strong labor movement, when there was a really, really strong effort to make things better for working people. And I know that after that, the development of the civil rights struggle, which had been going on forever, but suddenly was manifest in a much more powerful way. These things make it a difference. These things can make a difference, and other things like it can come along to make a difference. I'm only able to urge two things. Number one, that we recognize the real situation. I suddenly think about Pence, who actually says he can't be alone with any other woman but his wife. This man is dangerous, if that's really the case. I mean, we are in a weird, weird situation. And I know we actually have, as President of the United States, a psychotic. And I know everybody acknowledges it and then goes on with things. It wouldn't be so serious if the Congress of the United States was not similarly crazy. I also know that change can happen, and we can never, and I said this earlier and I'll say it again, know the tipping point. So the struggle must continue, and you and I and everyone we know must be engaged as much as possible in bringing about improvements in the world. That's my positive message. But on the other hand, I'd love to hear good news from you. 231-8187. Nadine!
Yes, good morning. I'm glad you took care of your personal...
Yeah, that's a little embarrassing, but what are you going to do?
Okay. I don't have great news, but I do have news.
Okay.
Okay. First thing is, this is something that everybody dances around. A plant-based diet.
Okay.
There are more than 800 million people on the planet that suffer from hunger or malnutrition. And the majority of corn and soy grown in the world goes to feed cattle, pigs, and chickens. Mark Bittman said that some time ago.
Well, I think it's true, yeah.
Yeah, it is. And the United Nations says that raising animals for food is one of the top two or three most significant contributors to the most serious environmental problems at every scale, from local to global.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and the rainforests are being destroyed as a result of this, well, in addition to mining and other things, but because of cattle ranching. And it's also not just a climate change issue, which is major, but it's a social justice issue because the indigenous people there are being killed and, you know, in trying to keep their land.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is absolutely true.
So this is something that everyone could participate in. And right now, there are so many alternatives. Just in Portland alone, there were so many restaurants, so many alternatives to meat mm-hmm. that it's incredible. And you go into some of them, you would never know the difference. There's something that they recently came out with. It looks like meat. It tastes like meat. It even, this is kind of gross to me, it even has, like, blood, which is not blood, but people who are not vegan, who have never been on a plant-based diet, love it. I forgot what it's called. But anyway, this is really major significance. We're losing so much land.
Uh-huh.
And methane is an issue. And, you know, from
oh, no. Let me say, I'm not a vegetarian, first of all.
Right.
And I understand the argument There are people who actually need that kind of concentrated protein, and they're also
that's what they said.
Well, it's probably pretty true. We'll argue about that. But the fact of the matter is, and I agree with you, that in general, in our society, we could certainly, without becoming vegetarians, cut down in the amount of animal protein we eat, and that in and of itself would have a very serious positive impact. So, what you're representing and where I'm at can come together on that awareness that we eat too damn much meat,
and what
the meat industries, that is the chicken raisers and the cow raisers and so on, do is create a lower priced product than should be the price of that, given its social and economic costs, real costs.
And
I think we come together on that. Now, whether or not as a culture we can absolutely change, I don't know. That's less important than recognizing the real importance, which you're emphasizing, of moving away from a meat-based diet to a much more vegetable-based diet, whether or not we all end up vegetarians. And I really appreciate the argument, by the way, of vegetarians. And I'm not one, and I'm not going to go there. But I really think that the way it is right now, you know, is that meat, all kinds of meat, is artificially low priced because of the mass production and the exploitation that's involved in it.
So I
want to thank you, and I want to support you.
And it's Could I just say a few more things?
Absolutely.
The other person
Go ahead.
For a long time. Okay. If you don't mind, why wouldn't you become a vegetarian?
Well, because I'm addicted to meat.
Even though you consider all the issues that are involved.
Yeah.
I was addicted to meat, too. I mean, I used to eat meat every day, and I came from a family that did that. But, I mean, I know people who were ranchers who became
No, I understand your argument. There are, and I'm not one of them, but there are people who have to eat concentrated protein, and it's very hard to get it from. For example, you go to soy has its own problems. You go to
you don't have to have soy.
Okay, but you understand what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to defend my diet, and I'm not trying to defend or urge another diet. I agree fundamentally about the economic unreality of a meat-based diet for most people in the West. And I think that this is something that you can indeed make arguments about without taking the structural change that vegetarianism would involve. However, I think it's very important that people like you, and there are plenty of you, God knows, in Portland, in Portland, who will make the fight and continue the fight, and I will support it.
No, that's good. One other thing, and then I'm leaving.
Okay.
Is that, you know, we talk about suffering in the world, which there is a lot of. That's an understatement. And people should also consider the suffering of other beings. It's incredible what we do to them.
Well, I absolutely agree. Let me be clear on this.
Yes.
The mass production of meat, in order to keep the prices, and I'll call it artificial, but in order to keep the prices and profits up, the way in which animals are handled and so on is absolutely inhumane and inexcusable.
So we
on that particular area of it, we agree. So I really appreciate your comments, and I think a vegetarian diet is a perfectly valid thing for the great majority of people.
I think the
price of meat, whether it's chicken or beef or whatever, should reflect the actual real world costs, in which case a lot of people would find themselves eating 2 ounces of meat instead of 10, if you follow me. And I do thank you for the call.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
231-8187. I am enjoying this show, and now I'm getting calmed down because there are people thinking about various ways of approaching the kinds of problems we face. And I do appreciate the calls. And I actually wish that every one of you who are listening to this show, not because it's this show, but in general, listening to KBOO, tell your friends, your neighbors, strangers, they ought to check this station out. We can be a disruptor of evil. We can be a creator of good. But we can only do it if we move toward a mass culture of social change. And that's where KBOO can come in. We are a free source of information and ideas and struggle. And that's really important. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Michael.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
So earlier today, you got some wisdom from the Catholics.
I don't know. I don't know whether he's a Catholic or not. I got some wisdom about the Catholics. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Here's some wisdom from a Jewish source.
Okay.
This is Jackie Mason.
Oh, Jackie Mason. Yes, I remember Jackie Mason. Go ahead.
They told me to cheer up. Things could be worse. So I cheered up and things got worse.
Yeah, that's Jackie.
Jackie. So anyway, that's that one. The other one is the history of China. They had the Chinese Empire, and every now and then some Mongol or somebody like that would sweep in from the north and conquer China.
Yes.
And then once this barbarian had conquered China and become the emperor, discovered that he needed the Mandarin class to run China because the Mandarin class knew how to work things. And so, you know, the Mandarins were kind of like permanent, despite the fact that these conquerors rode in. We've got a similar thing here in this country. So,
What's the similarity? I understand what you're talking about China, but, and I'm not going to go into Chinese history right now, but I don't see the parallel.
You know, the whole civil service, the whole government structure, the whole...
Oh, I see what you're getting at. The idea that you're suggesting, the idea that Trump and his like are the barbarians, and they think they can get along without the educated classes, but in fact, they can't.
In fact, they can't. And you just saw it recently. Trump tweeted something about whether trans people should be in the army and leaving out whether or not that's a good idea. The head of the army said, we never got a direct order. We're not doing anything until we get a direct order. And so, you know, it's like we're going to respond to the mechanism, not to tweets.
Right. Well, I certainly agree with that on a lot of levels. I think the tweeter in chief should probably have his tweeting machine taken away from him.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know.
I'm not so sure. This is making me challenge freedom of speech. I mean, this guy gets up in the morning and apparently has some problem with his physiology or something and tweets some crazy thing based on some crazy thought. And suddenly we're having a conversation about idiocy.
Yeah, but there's this mechanism under him that is not necessarily going to respond directly to every single tweet that comes out.
So are you saying that the bureaucracy will survive and will block all of this stuff? Because it doesn't seem to be doing that right thus far.
Well, the thing about the trans soldiers is a case where they blocked.
I don't want to get side hooked into the question of the issue of human sexuality and so on, but I think too
no,
much.
No, me either.
I think it's here's the thing that historically is the case. Great armies in history were made up of people of all kinds of sexual orientations, and interestingly enough, of people who, for opportunistic reasons, allowed themselves to be castrated so they could be better soldiers. I'm not suggesting this is something real in our world, but it's something to know. So all of our assumptions about masculinity and femininity and sexuality, intersexuality, and all those issues are really so culture-bound that we ought to stop worrying about it and just let people do what they do and make sure when they are in the armed forces or wherever they work, they do it well. And who cares what they do on their own time? That's what
I
think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't intending to have this be a discussion about that. I was just saying this bureaucracy, these Mandarins, so to speak, are there, and they're going to moderate what Trump is capable of doing.
Well, I think to some degree that'll probably be true. The problem is right now he has emptied out, for example, the State Department. all of those professional people with lots of experience and lots of history and lots of knowledge are going away. And you can, in fact, destroy the whole cultural knowledge base if you have enough power. And Trump has power, and he's got the support, and this is the most serious part of it, of an absolutely opportunistic party of individuals who pose as classic Republicans, but I don't believe are.
Well, the more you resist, the less I'll be able to cheer you up.
That's the ultimate argument. Listen, thanks a lot for the call, man. All right. I guess I'm my own worst enemy. Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. Here's my premise. My premise is things are really seriously screwed up. We need a lot of resistance and a lot of effort, and I'm not sure that the American people are willing to suffer through that great struggle. And I know there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things in a lot of different ways, some of them contradicting each other. And I love to hear from you, and I love to hear that it is not as bad as I think it is, or it is as bad as I think it is, but it can be repaired. 231-8187. Barry.
Hi. Joe, I'm not sure that I can tell you that things can be repaired, but I know that you're aware that, you know, when all the books are taken off the shelves and there's something wrong, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Well, there's a book, Solving 9/11. You can look for it in any of the libraries. It's not in there. And look for it at the bookstores. You can order it at some, but you can't get it. And this is about what really happened with 9/11. Very few people working through the Mossad, the Israeli Mossad, downing the World Trade Center. It goes into the very, very specifics of how it was done and all that. And it's really amazing.
Well, Barry, before we get, I don't want to really get into that as a topic. I appreciate your insights into it, but let me just suggest something to you that's an important rule. Generally, if there are hard evidences, if we know who, whatever the manipulations that created it, if we know who did something, if we know it really happened, and we understand all of that, we have to start with that, not with other possibilities. There are lots of possibilities. We need to start with the basic material, though. And I just insist. Insist on that. Anyway, I want to continue this conversation. Some of you are bringing in some very interesting ideas, or many of you are, and I feel cheered up just to hear the talk. So, but it's not about me. It's about us as a nation and our coming really deep dilemmas. Again, let me reiterate, there's a real enemy which was actually created during the Cold War, which is North Korea, who has a psychotic leader, much in the same way but different than we do. We are facing crises in the Middle East, many of them of the making of the Western powers and certainly of the United States in the wars in Iraq, terrible lie-created wars. We are now apparently thinking about having a war with Iran for no good reason. There's all kinds of indications that this administration, when it's going to be faced with indictments and so on, may turn to war as a way of escaping its responsibility. There is no indication whatsoever that Trump has an intellect or reads anything. In fact, I've been reading pieces that indicate that he can't read more than a half a page, a big type. And that he has an attention span of maybe a two-year-old, and that he is really, 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 really obsessed with himself and with money and with gold and with the most crass kind of cultural elements. So amidst all that, which could be end-stage capitalism in the ultimate form, not just even fascism, but rather craziness, I want people, I hope people, will begin to unify around those principles they can unify around, agree to disagree on some things, and begin the enormous process of actually building or rebuilding democracy in the United States. And that involves acknowledging things like these central injustices that were involved in creating this nation. the genocide of Native American peoples, the enslavement of Africans, and on and on and on, the disengagement and the removal of power from ordinary people who didn't own land, the refusal to allow women to have representation and rights, which they still are struggling around. All of these are real things. All of them need to be addressed. So we both, within and without, outside of our own power range, face enormous problems. Can they be resolved? Well, you'll never know until you try, and I think it's worth trying. That's all I'm saying. 231-8187. Ben.
Hi.
Hi.
So we don't have a lot of time, and I'm going to try to be short because I like the three-minute rule.
Okay.
So I think you're right. It's bad, 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 and bad. However, I think we have a opportunity, both somewhat limited, but I think if we focus and organize, as you suggested, mm-hmm. which I think is absolutely the key thing, we have to focus, focus, focus. It's important to educate and be informed about all these different things that we all care about, especially in the progressive world. And even people who we might disagree with on 9/11 or conspiracy theories about this, that, or other thing, we don't want to discourage people from being informed. But I think what we need to do, we have to be extremely practical. There's a book that I just discovered by Timothy Snyder, who's a professor at Yale, called 20 Lessons from the 20th Century.
Oh, yeah, I know the book. It's a good book.
Right. So he points towards, he takes each of the different areas that are problems, and he points to things that we can do. Your idea of maybe focusing KABU on these issues of climate change and conflict, and how do we address them, I think we need to extend that across the board. To me, the foot in the door is we have to get to people who can actually make a difference. Whether we like it or not, it's the people who are in positions of power in our country and other countries who can actually get changes made. We need to mobilize the people and be organized the bottom up. That's really critical. But if we can find ways to partner and do our own leadership to engage with people whose opinions and interests, it's all about self-interest. That's how we start with getting those people to change. Their lives are going to fall apart. And the world is going to fall apart if they don't do something about it. And I think some of them are willing to be changed in the media, political, business leaders, local leaders. I think if we have a coordinated tough on the left, but as coordinated as we can to build a movement to focus and communicate across the boards on what we need to do to get people to start to change, we have to transform our government, but we have to partner across the board locally, encourage that, and internationally. So that's like my premise. And I'm completely supportive of your idea of transforming KABU. And maybe we can build a bottom-up movement to change the focus and change the communications. Insist on local media, the TV stations, insist on the newspapers. Just we have to be persistent as hell.
Okay, I'm going to change. I agree with you. I'm going to let you go. I want to get one more call in. Who do we got? Phil, you're on the air. Quick.
Good morning. I really appreciate you and Abe's show, and I just wanted to mention what Utah Phillip would say. There's just too many people out there doing too much good work, and KABU and X-Ray and the real community stations, like the last caller mentioned, is really what's making the focus of there are good things happening out there, and that it's good for such an idiot to be in charge, or not even in charge, of the White House really going to show that money and corporations are really running things, and hopefully this will also crack up the Democratic Party as well and get the corporatists out that
okay.
might actually see some progress. All right, keep up the great work.
Okay, thank you very much. And I want to say, in favor of positivism, that it is not known when or how change can come. It is only known that struggle is necessary for that change to happen. And you, all of you, really have a role whether you think you do or not. If you do nothing, you are playing a role. If you do something, you are playing a role of a different sort. This is a time in American history when people must stand up everywhere, everybody. And we must stand up loudly and clearly and rationally because this is a scary time, but it's not over. It's not over till it's over. You stay with it and stay with KBOO. I'll see you next week.